and of the care process such that we could use some advanced analytics and learn more than we could if we just imagine we're creating the new version of a claim form or the new abstracted record. And so we still have a mindset around measurement that drives us through this old process of trying to do measure development and implement performance improvement that doesn't quite match with what the world looks like when you don't have to deal with paper. So I think that's a huge challenge for us. And programmatically, you know, we're focused a lot on measures. If you look at each new program that's introduced or a new idea of a program that's introduced, it usually starts with, and we're going to need more measures, and here's a list of the measures we've got, and here's why they're wrong, and here's a list of measures we need, and we're going to get there. But very little energy on, given this new digital environment, how are we really going to bake quality in? It happens in individual organizations, but it doesn't really happen as much on a programmatic level. Maybe outside of, I think, meaningful use of this more than other programs in some ways. And so I think this potential that we have to integrate measurement at the provider level might move us away from measuring quality the way we have at the physician and at the hospital level, and more say, okay, we can use that measurement at the population level, at the, I think, payer level, at the system level, healthcare system level, but maybe when it comes to dealing with actually the provision of care, instead of having this argument that goes back and forth around whether or not you're creating a measure and it's ruining my workflow, or you've got this old workflow and it doesn't work, you know, for the quality improvement, we could actually get to the point of saying, you know, let's really think more about how you actually make sure this happens every time, you know, and so you acknowledge that you live in the world where when you wrote the prescription for the antibiotic, you didn't know what the organism is, but as soon as the lab result comes back, there should be something that's relatively automatic that helps you adjust, right? And not just look at, you know, measures like, did you do something within a certain number of time from point zero? So I think that's an area that e-measurement could become e-improvement if we really did focus some more energy in making that change. The second one is on patients as contributors and users of quality measurement. I think this is still very early, but you know, now we're already seeing, with the focus toward patient-reported outcomes, et cetera, we're seeing the push toward allowing patients to give information that could become part of their own medical record, right? Whether it's just how they're performing on a pain scale or a functional status scale or some experience data that in some cases is actually integrated. And I think I think that this genie's coming out of the bottle and it's not going to get back in. So once the patient can direct the flow of their information, once they have more power over how their data moves, then the genie's totally out of the bottle and the patient and provider are more on a more equivalent power level. And so we'll begin to see, you know, the release at their own choice of that data into areas that will help us learn more about quality. I think this concept that consumers or patients don't care about quality measures is hogwash. They just don't care about the quality measures we give them. They want a lot of information. They're information seekers. You know, health is still, you know, the top area of search, you know, on the internet, et cetera. When people get ill, they want to know about treatment options. They want to know where they might, whether or not they're going to a good doctor or the right hospital or whatever. They just have a really hard time getting it out of the kinds of measures that we put up on our accountability websites. And we could help with that. One, it should be personalized. There's really no, you know, we're getting to a point where it is reasonable in this digital age to allow someone to know what their chance of readmission is, given their condition and a series of all the risk factors that are already in the risk adjustment methodologies, and allow them to also know what it is they could do about it to avoid a readmission without having a whole lot of focus on exactly how it gets done, right? But that they could engage in a different way. And I think that personalization and context are what will make the difference if we really want to think about getting consumers engaged. And then the last point about mHealth, you know, we're not going to get there on the health and healthcare targets that we have for cost reduction if we don't find a way to get individuals engaged. And so, because too much of it's behavioral, right? When people say, I don't have control over that, they're right. You don't really have control over it. But you don't give any information to the people who feel like they could have control over it. So how do we actually unlock this combination of mHealth and also patient contributions to data? So I do think that as we see this pick up and the genie gets all the way out of the bottle, we'll see accelerated improvement because there'll be some other stakeholders that have a strong stake in the process demanding change. I'm a huge optimist, can you tell? So I wouldn't have done well in an earlier panel. I think this third area, this one gives me a lot of heartache, you know, personally, and maybe many, many, many hours of headache that go with it, around harmonization of measures. You know, the new call is, and the drumbeat's getting louder and louder, that we just have to harmonize all the measures. You know, we know that we're measuring all the same concepts, but we just keep doing it in different ways. And if only we could just get everybody, all the measure developers in a room, and have them all define all the terms the same exact way, and we just measured everybody using the same thing, somehow, you know, the burden would go down, and we'd all be better off. The signal would be stronger about what we really expect from people, and we could make progress. And actually, having sat on the Consensus Standards Approval Committee of the NQF for 3 years and looked at measure spec after measure spec after measure spec that needed to be harmonized and listened to the developers tell you why it wasn't harmonized, and I can go down the list, different data sources don't have that same information. You know, a very real list. I mean, they're not made up. These are very, very concrete issues, you know, validity in multiple settings and impact on existing programs and losing trends and not up for maintenance for 3 years around the measure that we're up against, and is it really first in, and you know, is that the standard now because they were first, and I don't think we'll get there on this harmonization idea, but I don't think that's bad. I actually think what happens is it pushes us closer to actually caring more about outcomes. You have a lot of trouble with this harmonization once you get into the micro of how things happen, and a lot less trouble agreeing on what an outcome should be out of a process. And if you want to go across settings and you get more patient-centered, outcome-focused, then I think it could be a whole lot easier for us to get harmonization. And maybe we won't, Chris, spend as much time. That's my plea. I'm off the committee as of about a week ago, so I rolled off. The new people can deal with it now. But I mean, it's really useful work. It's, you know, we have common end goals, joint accountability, but the harmonization call, I think, is just gonna lead us down a rabbit hole. And why? The main reason why it leads us down that rabbit hole is because of the expanding use. And we have another denial in the quality measures world, and that is a measure is a measure is a measure, and it's good for everything. And, you know, a measure is a statistic, and they're not good for everything, right? So you cannot use the same metric to incent a patient to change their behavior, to help them choose a provider, to get accountability for just sort of public reporting broadly, to drive incentives around payment, to drive incentives to adopt electronic health records. They're not the same purposes, and therefore the measures diverge. And the fact that the measures diverge is not really the problem. The real problem is that, you know, we're not as coordinated, in my view, on what signals we really want to send across all of those programs, and want to, and we maybe think a little bit more about fit to purpose. What do you really need what measure for? And then what will actually get a result better on measure evaluation? If it hasn't been getting a result for the last 10 years, I don't think it will in the same form, right, in the next 10 years, unless there's some other, you know, external factor. But we have measures that have not been getting results for 10 years, and they're still measured. Then we have other measures that got results really quickly, topped out almost instantaneously. Yeah, I guess aspirin on arrival at the ED, right? It went up to 98% instantly. And it's still measured because we have to have at least one measure where we all look good. You know, the psychology of what behavior is that driving? And the argument is, well, if we take it away, then the care will go away. Probably not on that one, right? So I think there's a certain amount of being realistic about what the, you know, what it is that you're really trying to do. And then the other thing is the new programs. I don't know if anyone else noticed, but on the Affordable Care Act, which I think Dave is from Booz Allen there, his team created this big, I think it's literally this big report that's in my office that is the timeline for when everything has to get implemented, and the writing's like this small, where it shows how many deliverables there are, you know, per month on the Affordable Care Act along a big long axis. All of them actually need to be enacted really fast. And the measured development life cycle is not so fast, at least around the way we talked about it, the way we currently have it conceived. So we've got a bit of a problem. On top of that, the new measures, you know, the patient reported outcome measures, the delta measures, a lot of the measures that are really about care coordination, et cetera, the science isn't really well tested. So the likelihood that we're going to be able to do them all and get them all implemented and have them actually move a needle is pretty small, so I think we could use a little bit more realism there. And I say that with great optimism because I actually think that, you know, if you can't solve a problem, I believe in making it bigger. This is now getting bigger. And so I think we'll start to address the fit to purpose and get more parsimonious around what really matters. So that's my, I'm a fast talker. I'm from Philly, so I'll be done by the time. So yeah, so I was a, my major in college was a biological basis of behavior, which is anthropology, psychology, and neurology. And so I learned really early on that a smiling monkey is a terrified monkey. You know? See, the only difference in monkeys, they look so happy and terrified. So, I think we need massive change in the way we think about measurement. We can't have tomorrow's measures, can't be today's measures, right? They're not going to be serving the same purpose. The users won't be the same. If we're successful, they won't be the same. Measure development's going to change. You know, it needs to change to adapt to this new world. And thank goodness, you know, performance improvement won't be quite the same. I know you're going to hear from others who have really innovated in this area. I think there's fantastic examples of organizations that have really pushed ahead and have almost had to say, I'm going to ignore the noise around me and just do what we know will actually get results. And so I'm a huge optimist, sweating a little bit of panic, a little bit of scared monkey smiling, but otherwise, I think it's all going to work out.
So Christine, we're anxious to see how you're going to respond to this.
Well, I've been taking notes. I hope you noticed. I'm going to start here. This is familiar probably to most of you, but it is good to go back to basics periodically and remember that not everything that counts can be counted and not everything that can be counted counts. And there may be something in that fallacy that speaks to what we need to do as an enterprise, as a quality enterprise, starting now. And so I wanted to use this slide as a way to remind us that there's a reason why the quality enterprise is the way it is, a little bit about where that came from and my perspective on it. And then to take many of the words that Christine gave to you were actually really important things that are, I think, you're going to begin to see happening, not just with NQF, but with how we in the industry use quality. I was interested that Karen at the beginning was talking about all this data keeps rolling out. She kept saying, the data just kept rolling out. Well, you know, from my perspective, wearing my ABIM hat and just talking to my physician colleagues, that isn't how they see it, I'll tell you. They have to hire extra people to get the data, to do the reporting. That makes it actually not worth their while to do it. And then when they do get the data, it's not clear whether it's theirs or where it came from or it's a year later. That's the reality of the state we are. So a lot of where we'd like to be is this place where all the data comes rolling out, where we're doing data mining rather than, you know, specifications of data. But in the middle of all this, the most important thing, at least for me, is that we remember that what we're trying to do is improve quality and safety for patients. And so how can we do that in the most efficient, least costly way? Well, thanks to the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and Bob Berenson, Peter Pronovost, and Harlan Krumholtz, as of yesterday, there's a new paper on the state-of-the-art quality measurement, which those of you who haven't seen it yet, I urge you to take a look at it. Really, I think, in an amazing and remarkably readable way for those of you who whose eyes glaze over, as most normal people do when they read about quality measurement. They really have captured kind of where we come from and made some very interesting recommendations about where the measurement world should go. So because that came across my